Aaron Russell Leeds welcomes the Property Investors Podcast. This week, I've got a special guest, Zach George. Now, Zach is a gladiator on the hit BBC show, Gladiators. However, how do you think he actually earns most of his money? I'll give you a clue. It's passive, and we're here on the Property Investors Podcast. So let's go straight to it. So, Zach, thank you ever so much for joining us today. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here. You were, not, I was going to say voted, but it wasn't even voted. You were officially the fittest man in the UK in 2020.
Yeah, that's correct.
How did that happen?
So, does anyone know CrossFit here or train CrossFit? Yeah. Okay, for you, good. It's always a bit awkward if someone says no. All right, so CrossFit, anyone doesn't know, it is a sport all around weightlifting, gymnastics, swimming, bodyweight movements. You've got to be basically the perfect athlete. And it's a process called the Open. It's a five-week process. There's around 20,000 athletes in the UK, around 300 athletes worldwide who take part. They release a workout. You have Thursday night till Monday to perform the workout. You can repeat it as many times as you want. If you've got a chance of actually getting to the games, you have to submit the video to CrossFit and they have to check it. And then that process repeats for 5 weeks. So release a workout, you do it Thursday till Monday, send it off, wait till next weekend, do that for 5 weeks. It is the most stressful 5 weeks ever because you can't get ill, you can't get injured. If you mess up on any of the workouts, then your kind of dreams are over, your season's over. So how the scoring works is if you come first in the UK in one workout, you get 1 point. If you come 15,000, you get 15,000 points. And it's the person with the least amount of points at the end of the 5 weeks. So at the end of that five-week process, I was first in the UK. I was 22nd worldwide out of 300,000 athletes. And it took me 7 years of training, 4 hours a day, 6 days a week, to be able to get that fit to win that title.
That is absolutely incredible, isn't it, guys? Wow, so some serious dedication going in there.
That is a lot, yeah. And the sad thing is COVID hit, so I never went to actually get to the games, which was very frustrating, is what it is.
That sucks,
but
man.
Yeah, there's a lot of dedication, a lot of sacrifice. I just used to wake up, have my breakfast, go to the gym. I was always known for just training relentlessly hard. My physique isn't a physique that should be good at CrossFit. The average CrossFit is sort of 5'9", 5'10". 85 kilos. If you're smaller, you do most movements quicker. You'll squat quicker, you'll do press-ups quicker, you'll do gymnastics quicker. Whereas a 6 foot guy who weighs 105 kilos shouldn't be as good at CrossFit as I was. And I'll never forget when I first went into my very first CrossFit lesson, I started CrossFit because I saw it on YouTube, it looked absolutely epic. I walked into a gym and I said, I want to get to the games, to the first person I met. And they're like, okay, that's a pretty bold statement. I did a competition 2 months later, and I remember a guy said to me, you are way too big to ever be good at CrossFit. And I was like, I will show you how hard I work and I'll prove you wrong. And then 7 years later, the guy dropped me a message and said, fair play, I was wrong.
That's awesome. That's some achievement. What's more of an achievement for you, that and being on the front cover of Men's Health, etc., or being a gladiator?
That's a tough question. Being a gladiator means a lot to me because I used to watch gladiators when I was younger. And when I was younger, I was very overweight. I was extremely self-conscious. I had no confidence. I would skip school if we had swimming lessons because I was too scared to take my top off. I used to have a horrendous diet of KFC and McDonald's 4 or 5 times a week, bags of sweets every day. So I used to watch it, and I remember with my sister in the living room, I used to draw pretend abs on my stomach, pretend chest, and I used to pretend to be a gladiator. So to 20-odd years later, to be a gladiator myself, that is, it's just a feeling that makes me feel really proud, because if I'd have told that young kid that you're going to be a gladiator, he never would have believed you.
Nah. I mean, that was the dream, right? I remember myself and Samuel were kids. We used to play gladiators all the time, hitting each other with cushions, standing on the sofa. It was either that or being a footballer. Yeah. They were the two things that, you know, that was the dream. So, yeah, that's...
So, from an emotional point, gladiators, but then from a work hard ethic point, I think getting to the game, there's only 5 male individuals have ever qualified for the games, and I'm one of them. So I think that is just brute hard work. I've never had a coach in the sport. That was, again, very unique. I was just relentless at working hard, and I knew I'd outwork any of my competition.
That's amazing. What was there someone that inspired you to do that, or was it just totally self-motivation? Like, where did that come from? Yeah.
I'm someone that always aims extremely high. I saw CrossFit on YouTube and it looked absolutely epic. They were swimming, they were doing bar muscle-ups, they were like snatching 100 kilos, clean jerk, 140. And I thought that just looked really cool. I was a good athlete between the ages of around 15 to 18. I thought I was gonna be a professional rugby player, played for Tigers Academy for a couple of years. I had to stop through to injury. And I've always had a very competitive, hardworking nature. And between the ages of 18 and 24, I didn't really know what I was doing sport-wise. I was just a PT. I loved getting people healthy and fit because I've been on that journey myself. And I just found a sport that looked epic and I want to excel in. So it was just, yeah, watching it on YouTube on the off chance.
Amazing. So how did you transition from being a gladiator and being, you know, the fittest man in the UK into property investment?
Yeah, it's I think my friends at the back would probably say I always try to take too much on, but I live a very, very lazy lifestyle. So I've got sort of the gladiator route where I do the meet and greets, do performances, obviously film the show. And then I've got my ZACTIV, it's called, which is an initiative. We go into schools and we talk about health and nutrition, the importance of exercise, confidence, mindset. Because of my background of being overweight, it's a real big importance for me to use my platform and the ability of being a gladiator to make a change and try and get kids into health and fitness. And if we walk into a school, the kids go absolutely wild. They generally think you're superheroes. So I've got that as well. But all the money I make, I always put into property. So I remember it was 2020. I was in the peak of my CrossFit career. And like I said, I was training 4 hours a day, 6 days a week. So on that rest day, I was still going for swims and things like that. And even though you're training for so many times in the week, you've still got a lot of downtime, like Kevin said. If I wasn't training, I just wanted to be sitting down, relaxed, reduce my steps, and just wait till the next session. So I just spent hours on YouTube. And I saw Samuel Leeds's videos. He was the most charismatic sort of property guy on YouTube. And I thought, this looks a great place to invest. And like Kevin said, I just got into an absolute rabbit hole of watching every YouTube video about property. And then started buying a couple of buy-to-lets. I've now got a portfolio of 14 properties, a mixture of buy-to-lets, commercial. We did development. We converted a two-bed house and a warehouse into 8 flats. Wow. And now we're currently buying some land that we're going to build a 5-bed, and that's going to be a service accommodation unit. And then we're also buying a property in Chesterfield, which is a straight BRRR method. So, yeah, I did a lot of YouTubing. I did Samuel's courses online and then just sort of used my relentless nature that made me the UK's fittest man and then put it into property.
Brilliant. That's fantastic. That's amazing. So what's your favourite pro? Oh, yeah, go on. Give him a hand for that. You mentioned quite a few deals there. What's your favourite deal? Have you got a favourite deal?
Ooh, favourite deal. I think it was the 2-bed house and warehouse, the conversion into 8 flats, because we made some serious mistakes. And it was a massive learning curve, but that's the deal that I've learned the most from. So things like getting electric and water to the property cost us $25,000, and we didn't even account for that. Things like selective licensing, weren't aware of that. It was in the area, so that's £900 per flat we had to pay. But even though it was stressful at the time, we learned that's the deal that I've learned the most from. So even though at times it was the worst, looking back now, it's been the best for a learning experience.
Yeah, so did you say a 2-bedroom house into 8 flats?
2-bedroom house, then there was a warehouse next to it.
Okay, I was going to say, like there must be some small flats.
Yeah, so it was a car garage next to a 2-bed house.
Okay, nice. And what were the figures on that the deal then? Was it profitable? Was it a good deal?
Yeah, we bought it for $400. It cost $350 for the build, and then it got valued at $1.1.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's not bad.
Nice. Awesome. Good stuff.
The first sort of 6 or 7 deals that we did, we would do differently now. But that's part of the learning curve,
of course,
isn't it?
If you wouldn't do it differently now, then there's something... You obviously haven't been learning much over the last 6, 7 years, right?
That's what I was trying to explain to people, is that mistakes, everyone makes mistakes. It's how you learn from them and how you go forward that is the main difference between people who win and people who lose.
100. If you don't look back at what you were doing 5 years ago and cringe, you haven't grown enough over the last 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly like my athlete career. Like I used to, when I first started training CrossFit, I wanted to get to the games within 6 months and I was doing ridiculous volume. And I look back now, like you had no clue what you were doing, but it's all a learning curve.
You get the, yeah, exactly. It's funny, isn't it? Because you can learn a lot from other people and you can learn a lot from courses, like you said, you do the online course and everything, but you learn it at a much deeper level when you actually go out and do it.
Oh yeah, I think experience is always the best learning curve for me. Like I said, I loved doing Sammy Lee's courses, but when you're actually in the field doing it, you just get some amazing knowledge.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. So back to Gladiators then, but just because I'm just such a massive fan of the show.
I heard we're playing one of the games today. You've got some dual sticks.
Mate, let's do it. Let's do it, man. Oh, mate, that would be my chance of having a go at Gladiators. I would be well up for it. If we've got some, I am game, by the way, 100%. Did you lose any of your challenges when you were doing it as a gladiator?
Yeah, definitely. One of the hardest games to play is the wall. So the wall is where the contender gets a 10-second head start and we've obviously got to chase them. But some of the contenders were just rapid up the wall. So I remember my first game on the wall, I could see the timer counting down. The guy was nearly at the top. And I was like, great, like, there's no point even starting the wall.
Yeah.
But it's also...
That's kind of an acceptable one to lose, though, because yeah. It's like, oh, well, he was already...
Exactly.
If you, for example... What are the sticks called again?
That's called Pudel sticks.
Pudel sticks. If I was a gladiator and I lost that...
Yeah, that's brutal.
I'd be at
home. You don't want to lose duel. Yeah, because it's just one-on-one. You're high up on a podium. Yeah, you don't
want to... It's totally equal.
Yeah, you don't want to lose that. But then it is also a TV show. So the gladiators are a lot heavier, a lot bigger. We could hammer the contenders if we wanted to, because they're a lot smaller. So I'll never forget that our first episode... Obviously, all the gladiators were super hyped up. You're walking out to 6,000 people. They're going crazy. And the first game we were playing was Powerball. So, obviously, I used to play rugby when I was younger. We've got Apollo, who is a professional NFL player and professional rugby player. And then we've got Nitro, who is a professional sprinter. So, it's the first game. We didn't know what level to go, but we were just hyped up to the max. And we smashed them. It was, like, brutal. Like, every hit, we hit them and we'd slam them down. And they'd be like, ugh. And, like, we'd push them down as we're standing up. And it was just a minute of carnage. And we absolutely loved it. But apparently the producers and the bat were going crazy. And then the contenders didn't want to carry on. They were in the physio room for, like, 40 minutes. So after that game, we kind of knew what it was about. We knew we can't just go 100% flat out and just beat them up. So it's a fine line between making it a great show for families at home and kids watching, but then also, obviously, it's a realistic game as well, so we do hit them. But, yeah, we learned after that first episode to kind of take it back a little bit.
Don't smash them too much.
Yeah, poor guys. They're like 2 stone lighter. We're just slamming them into the floor. It was great fun, though.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's awesome. So I've got some questions from the audience about your investing. So first question is, and obviously you mentioned you got 14. Do you have a particular area that you invest in? And if so, why?
Yeah, so we tend to invest in, I'm from Leicester, so we normally go a 2-hour radius from Leicester, and that's only because the team I built around me, so builders, my broker, they're all in the area, and basically my builders just won't travel 3 hours to do a development. So I obviously want to get to a point where I've got other contacts in different areas, so if we wanted to do a project that was 4 hours away, we could facilitate it. But for currently at the minute, my team will only travel around 2.5 hours. So that's why we keep it fairly restricted to the area.
Yeah, to be fair, if you're going 2 hours radius of Leicester, that's quite a big area.
Yeah, it's
isn't
a huge
it?
Field. And we've got some really good areas that work well for service accommodation. Capital Growth is really good in that area as well. So I'm quite happy in sticking in that area. And I'm very hands-on. I like to be at the developments, look how it's going on. So if we had one that was 7 hours away, I think it would get a bit out of my control.
Yeah.
So we tend to stand within 2 hours of Leicester.
That makes sense. It helps if you know the area as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, massively, yeah. We've looked at a few projects and we tried to work with other builders, but it just got really messy and we ended up falling through. And I thought, I've got so much going on in the rest of my life with gladiators, still training like an athlete, all the workshop we do in schools. So I don't want the hassle of big projects going wrong that far away.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. How do you eliminate negative energy?
That's a very good question. It is a couple of things. Surrounding yourself with the right people will make a huge difference. So for me, if I wouldn't have had the group I had around me throughout my whole CrossFit career and property career, I wouldn't be where I am today. I think a lot of people think elite athletes are super motivated every single day, every single week. And there'll be multiple times in the year where I just couldn't be bothered to train. Like, I don't want to go in the gym. I don't want to spend 4 hours battering myself. My joints are hurting. But then you speak to your group who go to the gym a couple of times a week, but they always train with you. And they're like, come on, Zach, let's go. Think of your goals. And they give you that positive reinforcement. And then you go into the gym. I've had a lot on social media. Like, with social media, it's a great tool, but it's also a very negative tool. You get a lot of negative comments throughout my career. It could be jealousy. A lot of people to say, oh, he's on gear. That's why he's as good as he is. And you've just got to choose to filter out the negatives and just focus on the positives, especially being in the public eye. Gladiators, the first episode, it got 12 million views. And it was no show's done that in around 15 years. So you can imagine some of the negative comments that we get from people just sitting at home, just want to spread the negativity. And you've just got to choose to ignore it. Surround yourself with great positive people and just try and filter out the negative comments and just focus on the positives.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. If you had to start your career again and you couldn't do anything you've already done, what would you choose and why?
Whew, that's a deep question. Okay, what would I want to do? I would want to be a professional tennis player.
Really?
Yeah. I joke with my fiancée that I'm already going to get my daughter Ivy, she's 16 months, and when Wimbledon's on, I'm like playing little shots with the hands, getting used to the tennis shots. But no, tennis is a sport that I absolutely love. I love watching it. I played a lot of racket sports in my youth, and I just love everything about tennis. And if I could do anything, that's what I'd probably love to be.
Nice, nice. So you're encouraging your children to get into tennis, are you? Is that the...
Yeah. I really want to bring Ivy up in a good sporting environment, focus on healthy eating and nutrition and movement. A lot of people have asked me, am I going to get Ivy into CrossFit? And I'm like, 100% no. Because CrossFit is a brutal sport. You've got to train so hard and you don't get paid. You only get paid from CrossFit if you are one of the best in the world and you win the games and you'll get like £400,000, or you've got a great social media presence and your sponsors will pay you to wear their clothes or wear their watches or whatever. So I get that question a lot. Are you going to get her into CrossFit? I'm like, hell no. It's brutal.
Yeah. Do you think that being fit and healthy though helps for you to be successful in your business life, property life?
Yeah, 100%. And so many different ways. So obviously if you're ill and bedridden, obviously you can't go out and find deals. You can't do anything. But for me, importantly, it's the mindset. So the mindset of going to the gym 4 or 5 times a week, the mindset of eating healthy during the week, that relentless mindset you build from training and pushing yourself to limits in the gym, you can transfer into property or into anything. So my relentless nature, I will search for deals constantly. I'll be doing viewings constantly. And you're already so many more steps ahead of anyone else who's only doing 1 or 2 a week because they're lazy. So going to the gym, being proactive, it prevents you from being lazy, develops a great mindset, and then just being able to just to move around, feeling healthy, and just feeling good about yourself, feeling confident, it all adds up together and makes you such a better person. Like me, when I was younger, when I was overweight, I couldn't think anything worse than speaking in front of people or going to people I don't know. And if you've got that mindset when you're older, you're not going to go out and find deals. You're not going to go and speak to estate agents. You don't have the confidence. So it helps in so many different areas, being healthy and living a healthy lifestyle.
Do you think confidence has had a big part in your success? Because you sound like a very confident person, you know, like when you went to the CrossFit. Do you think confidence had a big part in your success?
Yeah, 100%. You've got to be confident. And for me, you've got to believe that you can achieve what you want to achieve. Because if you're going into a situation and you don't believe you can do it, you fall at the first hurdle. So I may have never got to the CrossFit Games, but having the mindset of I want to get to the Games may enable me to compete at so many other competitions that I wouldn't have been able to if I didn't have the mindset of going to the Games. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So I always set my heights super high. Even if I don't reach them, I've still achieved X, Y, and Z because I was aiming so high. And then you just get that validation and the confidence builds when things start falling into place. So at the early stage of my CrossFit career, I wasn't that confident because no one really knew I was. I was never winning competitions. But then when you start getting to regionals, you've got to be the best 40 athletes in Europe to get to regionals. And then you get to the games, you've got to be the best 30 in the world. All that builds confidence. And it's made me who I am today.
Amazing, good stuff. If you could give one piece of advice to your younger self, what would it be?
It would be run your own race. And what I mean by that is, especially with things like social media, I have a lot of people message me or come up to me in my gym and say, right, I want to train twice a day. And anyone who does CrossFit here, you probably got people in your gym who work 9 to 5, but they're still trying to train twice a day like an elite athlete. And they're looking at people like myself who have been at the top of the sport for many years, and they're trying to miss out the 7 years of work that I put in. Or they might look at yourself and Samuel and say, Lord, they are doing mega stuff. I want to get there in 6 months. But you've got to run your own race, and you've got to understand how long it took those professionals to get to that point. Just because you've not seen all the hard work and all the legwork they've put in doesn't mean you can skip it out and then just jump straight to it. So run your own race and don't judge your success of others. You could start a journey with your mate at the same time, and your mate could be progressing a lot quicker than you are. Doesn't mean what you're doing is wrong. It's just everyone's different and everyone's on their own path. And I think a lot of people can quit and stop pursuing their dreams because they look at other people and they might be doing it quicker or they might be doing it better. But you've just got to keep pursuing, keep working, keep turning up every day, and just know you're running your own race and you'll get there eventually if you're persistent.
Yeah, that's good. And do you find... Oh.
Starts with one.
How does it feel being rich?
How do you know I'm rich?
I'm just reading the questions, bro, you know.
That's a very strange question. Obviously, it feels better than being poor, but I wouldn't say I'm rich by any means. Again, I always look up to people who are way more advanced than me, and that's my nature. It doesn't matter if I was worth 100,000, if I was worth 500 pounds, if I was worth 5 million, 10 million, I'd always be looking at someone who's better than me, and I want to be hunting them down. So I'm never a person that would get to a point and be like, okay, I've made it, let's chill. I'll always want to set a new goal. And that's definitely what's enabled me to achieve what I've achieved in my whole career. But I'd never sort of sit down and just be like, yeah, I'm rich or anything like that. For me, rich can come from so many different things in life. It doesn't necessarily mean money. Rich to someone could be you've got an amazing family and you're super happy. You might only earn 25 grand a year, but if you're happy with that and you're happy with your lifestyle, you've got a great friendship group, that can be really rich. You could have all the money in the bank, but you're very unhappy because you've got no friends or no family support. So rich is so different, and it's not just on a monetary value. So yeah, I'd never just sit there and think, oh, it's great to be rich. You know, I'm always looking for the next thing.
Are you proud of what you've achieved?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I probably don't sit down and really think about what I've achieved, which is probably a negative thing because I'm always looking for the next thing. I'm always working to the next goal. But yeah, if the overweight kid was sitting there, he never thought I'd achieve what I've achieved. And it's been a long journey of going through different emotions, trying to lose weight every several years, and then going through school. And then I went to a private school. Everyone in the private school was going to university. I'm dyslexic and I was never very good at academic stuff. So I was probably one of two kids out of the whole year wasn't going to university. So they massively looked down on you when you weren't going to uni. And then I went through my PT career, then obviously CrossFit, UK's Fittest Man, and now Gladiators. I'm definitely very proud of what I've achieved, but I feel like I've got so much more to give. I want to use the platform now to really make a difference with the next generation and make a difference into their health, their mindset, their confidence. Because it's amazing when we go to schools and you've got kids that just look at the floor, shoulders are rolled over. You can tell they've got no confidence, no self-esteem. The parents don't know how to feed them healthier foods. So they're just really stuck. And I think for me, to make a big difference, I really want to make a difference to the kids and the next generation. And I think once I've done that, I'll probably start to set a little bit and then just push all my energy into property. But I feel like I've got a strong mission to really get the next generation healthy and fit.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. What advice would you give then to someone who was first getting started out in property? You know, let's say people are in this room, maybe not done any deals yet, but they're hungry, they're eager, they've got the education in place. But what advice would you give to them to, you know, go and get started and start making some money?
Yeah, you're already doing the first steps because you're here, you're getting educated. That's always the biggest pitfall that people do. They try and go straight into property, they make mistakes, then they stop. So again, your education is the most important factor. But for me, it's just pure resilience. If you've been told no 10 times, doesn't matter, just keep going back. Because you think of all the people that stop when they've got 4 or 5 no's, you've got to keep going back and back and be relentless. And even when you find deals, it could fall through last minute, but just keep going back, keep turning up, keep doing your research, keep getting educated, because it's always an ongoing process, and just be relentless with it, because that will get you very far in life.
Brilliant. I mean, that's very, very good advice. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Zach George.